Osho, the miracle, talks on Zen, given at the Osho Commune International, Pune, India. Discourse number 10.
Beloved Bhagwan, Eno said, good friends, my teaching of the Dharma takes meditation and wisdom as its basis. Never, under any circumstances, say mistakenly that meditation and wisdom are different. They are a unity, not two things. Meditation itself is the substance of wisdom. Wisdom itself is the function of meditation. At the very moment when there is wisdom, then meditation exists in wisdom. At the very moment when there is meditation, then wisdom exists in meditation. Good friends, this means that meditation and wisdom are alike. Students, be careful not to say that meditation gives rise to wisdom, or that wisdom gives rise to meditation, or that meditation and wisdom are different from each other. To hold this view implies that things have duality. If good is spoken while the mind is not good, meditation and wisdom will not be alike. If mind and speech are both good, then the internal and the external are the same, and meditation and wisdom are alike. The practice of self-awakening does not lie in verbal arguments. If you argue which comes first, meditation or wisdom, you are deluded people. You won't be able to settle the argument, and instead will cling to objective things and will never escape from the four states of phenomena. Eno added, good friends, how then are meditation and wisdom alike? They are like the lamp and the light it gives forth. If there is a lamp, there is light. If there is no lamp, there is no light. The lamp is the substance of light. The light is the function of the lamp. Thus, although they have two names, in substance they are not two. Meditation and wisdom are also like this.
Manisha, the understanding of mind ultimately ends into the understanding of meditation. The function of the mind is to divide things. Duality is its territory. Darkness and light, life and death. The mind cannot conceive anything which has not its opposite. But existence is not obliged to function according to the mind. In existence, day and night both merge into each other every evening, every morning. They are not separate. Neither life and death are separate. If they were separate, it would have been possible for someone to go on living. Not to allow death to enter into his house. An ancient Chinese story will help you to understand the great Zen master Inno. His every statement is a scripture in itself. The ancient story is a great emperor being afraid of death. Created a palace with a single door, no doors, no other windows, no way of entering into the palace except from a small door where he has placed a complete row of guards. Guard number one was to be guarded by number two, and guard number two was guarded by number three, and guard number three was guarded by number four. Seven guards watching each other. More protection is not possible. A neighboring king heard about it, and he wanted to see this security palace. He was welcome. The owner of the palace took him in, showed him all facilities in, but no way for any enemy, for any thief, for any killer to enter in. The king was very much impressed. He said, "I will immediately order. Just give me the names of the architects to make the same palace for me also in my kingdom." Talking with each other, they came out where the chariot of the king was waiting. And when he said that, "I am going to make exactly the same palace, I loved it, the very idea, it is so safe and secure. A beggar by the side of the road started laughing madly. Both were stunned. For a moment there was silence. They both asked the beggar, "Why you are laughing?" He said, "I am laughing because there is a loophole in the palace, and I know the loophole because I have been sitting in this place for years begging. So I have been watching the building of the palace. The emperor asks, what you have found as a loophole? He said, that one door. The king laughed. He said, I have placed 7 guards on it. They are guarding on each other. Nobody can betray. What is the fear? The beggar said, with due respect, I want to tell you that death will enter and your guards will not be able to see it. And death is the only insecurity. What else? Do you have any protection against death? The emperor was at a loss. The beggar suggested that my suggestion is that if you want really to be secure, go in and tell your builders to raise the wall instead of a door. But still I cannot guarantee that death will not enter. But at least you have made as much effort as possible. Close this door and be inside. The emperor said, but that means I am already dead. That becomes a grave, not a palace. If I cannot come out and cannot go in, the beggar said, if you think just closing one door, your life will be finished, do you think by closing other doors, parts of your life are finished? By closing other windows, other parts of your life are finished. You are going to live at the minimum while the maximum was available. Both the kings were surprised to see the intelligence of the beggar. They came close to him and they asked him that, from where you come? He said, you will not understand. Your fathers were my friends. Once I also used to be an emperor. But seeing the whole unnecessary trouble, I made myself completely secure. I dropped all walls, all worries, opened all windows. Now for almost half a century, nobody has harmed me. I am just a beggar. Why one should harm me? I have nothing to be stolen. I sleep as I have never slept before. If you really want to be living at the maximum, don't listen to the duality of the mind. The only security in existence is going beyond the mind. The beggar was a great Taoist master. His name was Li Tzu. But people has forgotten 50 years before he has dropped his kingdom. But he said, the only security I have found is in being silent, in being yourself, where all duality disappears. Where you and the universe are one, then death cannot do anything. You have disappeared on your own accord. Now there is no way to harm you. There is nobody to harm you. The body is not you, the mind is not you. You are just a guest in a house. Don't get identified with houses. Just remember the guest. This statement of Inno is tremendously beautiful. Good friends, my teaching of the Dharma takes meditation and wisdom as its basis. Never under any circumstances say mistakenly that meditation and wisdom are different. They are a unity, not two things. But all the so-called intelligentsia of the world has taken them as two things. Meditation is for the mystics, and wisdom comes from accumulating knowledge from the scriptures, from the old traditions. They have degraded wisdom to knowledge, borrowed knowledge. Inno is saying that wisdom is the fragrance of meditation. They are not separable. You cannot have wisdom without meditation, and you cannot have meditation without wisdom. In fact, there are two names for one phenomenon. To be yourself silently and fully aware meditation and wisdom are known without any doubt to be one. Meditation is the source and wisdom is the radiation. Meditation is your understanding and wisdom is your action according to that understanding. Meditation is your inner experience and wisdom is its outer expression. A man of meditation cannot do anything wrong. And a man of so-called wisdom alone is just a parrot. He goes on repeating but his heart is not touched by his own repetitions. A priest has two parrots. They used to remain very good, saintly, with their rosary in their hands, repeating Ave Maria. But once in a while they used to become very sad. Both of them at the same time. So he thought perhaps they need a companion. So he went to the pet shop and he said, certainly they need a companion because both are male. They need a female at least to share with. So he bought a female, and as he put the female in the same cage, one parrot said to the other, Johnny, now drop the rosary, there is no need of it. Our prayer has been heard. The priest could not believe that these idiots were praying for their own reason, not for the Christian religion. They both dropped their rosaries. A man who thinks through borrowed knowledge that he is wise is not only befooling himself but others also. His wisdom is just a memory, not a knowing, because knowing blossoms only through meditation. Inno says, never under any circumstances say mistakenly that meditation and wisdom are different. They are a unity, not two things. Meditation itself is the substance of wisdom. Wisdom itself is the function of meditation. At the very moment when there is wisdom, then meditation exists in wisdom. At the very moment when there is meditation, then wisdom exists in meditation. Good friends, this means that meditation and wisdom are alive. Students, be careful not to say that meditation gives rise to wisdom, or that wisdom gives rise to meditation, or that meditation and wisdom are different from each other. To hold this view implies that things have duality. If good is spoken while the mind is not good, meditation and wisdom will not be alike. If mind and speech are both good, then the internal and the external are the same, and meditation and wisdom are alike. The practice of self-awakening does not lie in verbal arguments. If you argue which comes first, meditation or wisdom, you are deluded people. You won't be able to settle the argument and instead will cling to objective things and will never escape from the four states of phenomena. Inno added, good friends, how then are meditation and wisdom alike? They are like the lamp and the light it gives forth. If there is a lamp, there is light. If there is no lamp, there is no light. The lamp is the substance of light. The light is the function of the lamp. Thus, although they have two names, in substance they are not two. Meditation and wisdom are also like this. Inno is making a significant statement. You are standing on a road. Inwards is the realm of meditation. And if you reach to the point where you touch your very being, then outward you can express your meditation in everything that you will do. All your gestures, all your actions, even your silences, not doing anything, just sitting, will also express the radiance, the fragrance, the beauty, the joy of meditation. This is wisdom. But people have been misled by parents, by teachers, by priests, by everyone, to accumulate wisdom. You can accumulate great wisdom, and yet you will be just a learned idiot. Your behavior will show it, your actions will show it, just your words will be in consonance with the scriptures. The authentic wisdom does not come from outside. The authentic wisdom comes when you have gone deeper into your being and found the center of your life. Then suddenly an explosion. Everything that you do or not do expresses your wisdom. Wisdom is just the fragrance of a rose. Find the rose first, and the fragrance will be found on its own accord. Don't even make the distinction who comes first, because they are not two. They are one, looked from two sides, one from inside and one from outside. Whatever is your enlightenment expresses inside as meditation and outside as wisdom. Nobody comes first, they both are one. The outer and the inner both are together, but mind always creates the distinctions, separations, and it is because of the mind you get into unnecessary troubles, philosophic conflicts, theological arguments. You waste your time on books, looking for something that may help you to find yourself. You cannot find anywhere anything that will help you to find yourself. You have to be clear about it. You are not to be found, you are already here. You have just to recognize the fact. A master does not teach you to be yourself. He simply makes you recognize what is hidden behind your heartbeat. In his presence, a certain synchronicity happens. You simply be close to a master silently, and you start feeling a rush of energy flowing towards you, making you a fire. It is invisible to the spectators. Only the participants are the blessed one. Once you know yourself, you are in meditation, and your actions will show wisdom. A Zen poet wrote, "To have the sun and moon in one's sleeve, to hold the universe in the palm of one's hand, and his haiku is complete. Just remember one hand, just remember one sleeve to have the sun and moon in one's sleeve, to hold the universe in the palm of one's hand. When you open your hand, don't you have the whole universe in your palm? Just don't close it. The closed hand is the poorest. It has nothing in it. It is a strange thing that every child is born with a closed hand. And everybody dies with an open hand. It has never been heard anybody dying with a closed hand. Because to close the hand you need energy. A dead man has no energy to close the hand. The open hand needs no energy, no tension. Closed hand will get tired. The dead man cannot afford to close his fist. But it is beautiful to get deeper into the fact why every child is born with closed hands. It signifies that every child is born with great hopes and expectations and desires. Those closed hands are showing that he has to make something of himself successful, rich, politically powerful. It is an unconscious, very deep-rooted expression of his being. He comes in the world with great secrets. Soon he will start getting frustrated. No success succeeds. In fact, every success ends up in a failure, in a deep frustration, because what you wanted is not found. The old man dying has nothing to hold unto, no desire, no expectation. He moves into death just like a beggar. When Alexander the Great died, he told his ministers that keep my hands hanging by the side of the coffin. They said, a strange idea. It has never been heard. Nobody has done it. A dead man should behave, keep his hands inside the But Alexander said, it is my order and it has to be fulfilled. It is my last wish. It does not matter that nobody has done it, I am going to do it. Keep my hands hanging by the casket. They said, but what is the great idea? He said, I want to know, because millions of people will come to see. I want to make it clear to them that I had come into the world with closed fists, with great expectations, with great secret desires. I am going from the world utterly frustrated with open hands, and I am not taking anything with me. All that I had has proved just a delusion. Meditation makes you an open hand. Mind is very secretive. Mind goes on keeping your desires, your angers, your frustrations, your miseries, all secret, a closed fist. Meditation is an opening of the fist. And then the whole universe is in your hands. A small haiku with a great meaning. Ikku wrote, should you seek the way of the Buddha all night long, searching, you will enter into your own mind. You can go on searching not only the whole night, but the whole life of unconsciousness and darkness, searching for Buddha. You will always end up with your mind. You will not find the Buddha, because Buddha is not to be found by searching. Buddha has to be simply recognized. Without making any effort to seek and search, just look in. And you are the Buddha. And immediately all your actions, all your ways of life, all your functions will change immediately. They will all carry the fragrance of a Buddha. Another haiku, however much we pour in, never to brim over, to ladle out, never exhausting. Moreover, not to know the reason for it, this is called the hidden light. The light within you is perfect, neither you can take anything out of it, nor you can add anything to it. It is a perfect circle. It is perfectly opened lotus. You cannot do anything to it. You can only rejoice. You can dance. You can sing a song in praise of the lotus that has blossomed within your being. Particularly, I want my people to know that meditation is not just that is only one part of it. Finally, it has to be creative. And when a poetry comes out of your inner silences, or a painting, it has a flavor which is not of this world. Manisha has asked, "Beloved Bhagwan, when you say each evening during the meditation, go in, go deeper and deeper like an arrow to your center, is it that there is actually nowhere to go? And nothing to do because we are already in?" Is all we can do just be aware of how and when we perpetually go out further and further from ourselves? Yes, Manisha, there is nowhere to go. You are already there where you needed to be. And once you recognize it, then you carry your consciousness wherever you go. Then time makes no difference, neither is space. You are a Buddha. In the temple, and you are a Buddha in the shop, you are a Buddha sitting silently deep in meditation, and you are a Buddha having a good laugh with Sardar Gurudeval Singh. It is midnight in Miami, and glamorous Gladys arrives for a winter holiday to find that all the hotels are full. The receptionist at the 4-star screwing Saints Hotel suggests that he put her in to share a room with a nice man on the 5th floor named Donald Dickstein. Gladys likes the idea and takes the room. She enters the room quietly, takes a peek and sees Donald sleeping in one of the beds. Then she turns on the bathroom light, leaves the door open, and begins to slowly and seductively take off her dress. Then she ever so slowly removes her bra. Bending in the light, she takes her sweet time, slipping off her black lace panties. Finally, she saunters around the room completely naked and gets into her bed. Then she leans over and whispers to Donald, "Would you like to come in my bed?" "No, thanks," replied Donald, wide awake. "I have already come in mine." There is an explosion at a Polak salami factory. And one of the salamis gets blown right to heaven. It lands at St. Peter's feet. "What a funny looking thing," says St. Peter, picking it up, and he goes to say to Jesus, "Did you ever see such a thing?" St. Peter asks Jesus. "No," replies Jesus, "I have never seen one before." So St. Peter takes it to show to Mary. "Mary," he asks, "did you ever see something like this?" "Ah," exclaims Mary, "you know, if it did not have that funny smell, I would swear it was the Holy Ghost." Caroline Kratz goes to visit her local channeler to find out about her late husband Caruso. "What is it like up there?" asks Caroline anxiously when she gets the right channel. "Marvelous," replies Caruso. "I get up late, go swimming, then have sex, sleep, eat, take a rest, go swimming, have sex, sleep, eat again, have sex." "Ah," cries Caroline, "but down here you only made love to me once a month." "I know," admits Caruso, "but down there I was not a duck." Old Rubberstein is passing the local pet shop one day when he sees a sign advertising a parrot that can speak many languages. C. Since he considers himself an expert on languages, Rubinstein goes inside and starts to question the parrot. Parlez-vous français? Ask Rubinstein. Parlez-vous français? Replies the parrot. Habla espanol. Ask the old Jew. Habla espanol. Comes the reply. Speak English. Ask Rubinstein. Speak English. Replies the bird. The old Rubinstein goes closer to the parrot and asks confidentially, tell me, my friend, if you are so smart, do you speak Yiddish? The parrot fixes Rubinstein with its beady eyes. Tell me, my friend, says the bird, you think I should not speak Yiddish with a nose like this? Okay, Nivedana. Gather all your energy inside. Deeper and deeper. Take this energy to the very center of your being. Your body is only a circumference. Find out the center in your consciousness. Once you have found the center of your consciousness, you are a miracle, a Buddha. The greatest mystery in existence. Hesitate. Take the jump. There is nothing to fear. It is your own world. Finding the center of your consciousness is finding the center of the universe itself. After that, you exist spontaneously without any effort, with great grace and bliss. meditation ultimately brings wisdom to your life. To make it absolutely clear that you are not the body, Nivedano, relax, fall dead, collect yourself as deep within your innermost core as possible. You are discovering the Buddha. This moment is the most precious moment when one discovers the Buddha in oneself. Then all the theology and religion and philosophy is just commentaries, non-essential. You have got the essential thing right in your hands. This Buddha nature knows no death, no birth. It knows only eternity. No beginning, no end. No boundary. It becomes oceanic, the whole universe becomes its home. For the first time, there is not even a fence between you and the universe. You are the universe. This is the meaning of finding the Buddha. Come back slowly, silently, gracefully, carrying the experience, recollecting it, sit down for a few moments as a Buddha. And carry out your 24-hour activities, remembering that you are a Buddha, and all your expressions should be of wisdom. Can we celebrate the 10,000 Buddhas?
Yes, Bhagwan.